This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hi, this is John with a quick word from our sponsor. JetBrains, the guys who made ReSharper, extend their toolset for .NET developers. If you're doing .NET and you're looking for a good unit test coverage tool that supports .NET apps and Silverlight, try .cover. It highlights coverage right in Visual Studio and integrates nicely with ReSharper's unit testing tools. Get a 30-day trial and a sweet introductory price at jetbrains.com/.cover. Okay, hello and welcome to Herding Code. We're talking to Dale Regan. And, well, can you introduce yourself first?
Yeah, my name is Dale Regan. I recently started a company called Sign Signal, and I'm announcing a new product for making deployment ASP.NET, MVC, web applications a lot easier for everybody.
So as I was trying to find information before we talked, I noticed if I go to signsignal.com, I basically just see a link to your Twitter feed. Is there more? Where's the best place for people to keep up with what's going on with Sign Signal?
Right now it's the Twitter feed, but hopefully by the time you release the show, I'll have the site up and a real public announcement with all the product and all the information. So,
okay. So my understanding is that this is kind of like Heroku for ASP.NET. Is that a fair way of characterizing it?
Yes, it's very, very close to what Heroku does, but for ASP.NET. There are a few things that I'm going to leave out for example, MySQL hosting and this stuff like that. There's just too many other cloud-based providers that provide database hosting that people can take advantage of.
Sure.
And do it a lot better than I can do. So
before we dig into that too much, I guess I should have, there's probably some people listening that don't know what Heroku is. Can you explain kind of, for lack of a better term, the elevator pitch on what Sign Signal does?
All right. Up to this point, deploying your application far as web applications to a production server has always just been a headache. It's like the last thing anybody ever wanted to do. You would basically schedule a week, at least in my past experience, just to do a rollout to a production server just to make sure everything was good to go. It was just a bunch of hair pulling. I'm taking that where it's going to be a lot more relaxed and easier.
So what was the background that got you into this? Like, have you been, how did this get started?
I was actually working on another idea that I had, and I was building, I hated deploying ASP.NET web applications. I couldn't stand it. So I was trying to build something for myself that made that easier for the idea that I was working on. And along that way, Heroku came along, and I just saw how popular it got, and basically the idea they had was pretty much exactly how I planned on doing it, using Git, because I just love Git. I've been using it now for about a year, and when I saw how popular they got, I'm like, I might as well open this up for users and let them take advantage of it. I already helped run an ISP with a friend, and I have the infrastructure to do it and not have to worry about running on Amazon EC2 and those upfront costs. Just take advantage of what I already have and open up this infrastructure to everybody besides me. So that's how the idea came about.
Okay. So the idea then is that I've got my website, I've built it on my system, it's an ASP.NET app, and I want to deploy it. So how do I go about getting my site up and running?
This is the kicker part, is that you would just use the source control system that you're already using. For instance, Git handles remote repositories, and basically you would just add what I'm building with SignSignal, which is actually called Monkey, if you're wondering how to pronounce the name of it. That's pretty much the pronunciation. It's Irish for monkey, the way I spell it. So
how is it spelled?
M-O-N-C-A, and then it's got a hyphenated I.
Okay.
And then, so that's Irish for monkey. And it's kind of like an acknowledgement back to Mono, which is what this is built on top of, to kind of, give a thanks back to those guys and the wonderful job they do. Plus, I thought it was a, you know, and also a pretty easy something to remember in your head, you know, monkey. I mean, everywhere you look around, I mean, everything's got a monkey in it anymore. So basically what I do is I host a Git server, all my servers, and you just add a Git remote repository and just use that and push up to it your source code. And then on my end, what I'm going to do is take that source code and compile it for you using the Mono runtime. And then once it's compiled, it'll be available for you to get right to it. I mean, that's simple as that. Besides Git, I'm also going to offer Mercurial if you rather use Mercurial.
And then how it's my responsibility to, you know, do all my testing. I would, you know, whatever CI stuff I want to do on my side before I push to you, right? I mean, there's nothing, if I push a bad build to you, is that going to, it's going to fail the build, or is it, what's going to happen, you know, if I push up bad code?
Basically what would happen is if it doesn't run on your machine, it's not going to run on my server. So it's the same runtime. You should always make sure that what you're going to run under works in the same environments. So what you actually could do on my server is set up two remote repositories, one for staging and then one for production. And then push to your staging one first and make sure everything's running. If it's not running, then just roll back your commit and then make your changes and push it back up. And then once you get it working, you can just push to your production remote repository and then be done.
Okay, and then you mentioned a little bit about the database side of this. What sort of is the idea that, you know, you'll build this and I'm free to pick whatever database systems I want to use, cloud-based database elsewhere, or what do you see as kind of the most likely database side of this?
I could see people using SQL Azure if they want to stick to SQL Server. I would actually like to see people starting to take advantage of the other cloud-based database hosting providers like CouchDB or MongoDB or Bigtable or, you know, all those NoSQL type databases also.
So when my code is pushed up to your site, what's the environment that it's running in? We're talking about a shared hosting kind of thing? Is it an EC2 instance?
Actually, I'm going to be running my own infrastructure. So I'll have my own servers, and then the servers will actually be running virtual OSs. And it'll be a POSIX environment. It's not going to be Windows. Maybe later I'll add Windows, but for now it's going to be POSIX only. So what I mean by POSIX is it's going to be Linux-based. And on top of the Linux-based, then it'll be Mono far as serving the application itself. And a similar web server to like Monos. And there'll be a few differences, though. So that's pretty much the environment you'll be running on my servers.
Does that mean I need to be doing that kind of testing on my side, or are you assuming for most cases, you know, ASP.NET app is just going to run on your side?
You could pretty much assume in most cases how you write it on your desktop under your Windows environment, it's going to work exactly that way once it's pushed up into my environment.
Okay.
So are you running basically an off-the-shelf Mono kind of environment? So for example, if I'm developing on Windows, can I use the standard Mono, you know, compatibility analysis tools to tell me if it's going to run in your environment?
Yeah, you can use MoMA to run your analysis on your DLLs just to make sure everything is you know, satisfactory as far as running on Mono. And I'm also going to give you the option of picking which runtime you want to run under. There's Mono 2.6.7, which is the latest long-term support release for Mono. And that's the equivalent to the .NET Framework 3.5. And then today, I'm sure you saw Miguel announce the release of Mono 2.8, which is the equivalent to .NET Framework 4.0. And you'll be able to pick which runtime you want to use, whichever one you feel more comfortable running under. Of course, most people will probably choose the 2.6.7 since it's been out longer and it's been a lot more tested. If you want to, you can also choose the 2.8 runtime and take advantage of the 4.0 features.
Cool. And 2.8 includes full support for MVC 2, I believe, and ASP.NET 4.
Right.
Cool. So what is the, capacity planning side of this? Like, are you, you know, have you planned out that you're able to run a certain number of websites or, no, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Basically, to start out with, I'm going to have a private beta. And during that private beta, I'm probably going to try to get up to 2,000 people signed up and run off that kind of load and see how things are running, which will help me determine what I need to do to accept more load once we actually go into production. And basically also just to make sure everything's running smoothly before I actually host any mission critical type apps and be able to me feel secure in saying that, yeah, your app is going to be up all the time and, you know, give, you know, 4 nines or maybe even 5 nines as far as uptime. As far as the scaling part, you as a user will actually be able to determine how much power you want to put towards your website. If you see that you're getting high loads during certain parts of the day, you'll be able to specify, during that day you need to push up a little bit. Then you only pay for the time that you use that power. It's not going to be an overall monthly fee. I'm going to be actually timing based on how long you use it, and what type of load you're under, and all that good stuff. So,
okay. And then is that like fractional CPU based timing? I know like with Azure, some of the idea is basically you're paying per CPU hour, so there's a minimum cost associated with running a site if you want it to be up all year round.
It is going to be a fractional computing. You basically pay for a fraction of the CPU and then say you get one of those for free, okay? Because I'm going to have a free plan. And then as your site gets more popular and you want to serve more users at a time, you can up that many fractional CPUs, say up to two, and then you'll basically pay for that second one. Did that answer your question, John?
Yes, it did. That's okay. Cool. Yeah. Sure. And I guess kind of a follow-on question on that is like, how you would compete with someone that's looking at Azure. I mean, one thing is the whole workflow of the source control based, deployment method is cool. And I mean, what are some other things that you would say as far as somebody that's kind of looking, comparing what you offer and what Azure offers?
Basically, the ease of deployment is like the biggest golden star of this guy.
Yep.
I haven't used Azure myself personally. I'm not sure what it takes to get a site up and running on it, but I can tell you with a Git push call within a minute, your site's up and running, and you can reach it publicly from anywhere.
Did we already talk through the free option part of this?
The free option, what I'm going to do is like for hobbyists and, or even just developers who have their own little blogs or whatever, and, just aren't getting that much traffic, we'll be able to create an account on my Inside Monkey and use it and deploy their applications whenever they make changes and use the infrastructure for whatever load they're getting, which is pretty minimal, for free. I'm not going to charge anything. And then you only pay for if you see that free option is not meeting your needs. Like if your user load is going up and you need more fractional CPUs to handle that load, then you'll pay for those fractional CPUs.
Awesome. Okay, thanks. So how does this work with security? Since I'm running in a VM, can I basically assume this is kind of the same as if I've got I guess this is more secure than having a shared hosting account somewhere else theoretically then, huh?
Yeah, it'll be a lot more secure. You're basically going to be sandboxed within your own little, your virtual, call it a virtual app domain in a way. As far as running, each user will have their own process that the website is being handled under. So, and only that person will be able to access that process. It's still going to be totally sandboxed and separate. And I mean, far as security, there shouldn't be any issues at all. Yep, totally different than shared hosting. So
yeah, that's nice. So I mean, I guess this would be more equivalent to the like virtual shared account kind of thing, or virtual VPS, I guess is what they call it.
Yeah, it's very similar to say Slicehost, if you're familiar with that service, which is a VPS hosting service. The thing with Slicehost is they just give you an image and you do what you want with it. With me, I abstract all that for you and set up the server the way it needs to run your web application, and all you have to worry about is deployment, and I take care of the rest for you. You don't have to worry about load, scale, nothing. I mean, all you need to do is monitor your traffic. If you see your traffic's getting higher, just up those fractional CPUs and I'll take care of it for you.
What about things like background tasks, batch jobs, that sort of thing that aren't just, you know, sort of pure web hosting? Is there any mechanism for doing that kind of stuff?
There is going to be a mechanism for that. It's going to be similar to an add-on in a way, if you need it. And of course, based on how many background tasks you need to run, there'll probably be some, you know, payment options for that.
Is Scott Kuhn there?
Yes.
Do you have any questions?
I'm trying to think of some. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. Remove the suck of deployment. Make it easy. Free stuff. Scalable. Yeah. The only thing I can think of is that the whole running it on the Linux host is gonna be a downer for some people. But, you know, I'm okay with that kind of stuff. And it's mostly because they're just not comfortable in that environment. And it means that, and I've never really understood what keeps an app from being mono compatible. Like, I know you can run the MoMA tool and it'll tell you kind of where the problems are, but it's kind of like if you start writing the app and then you run the MoMA tool and it says you've got problems, you're like, well, I guess I won't run on mono. Those are your options. Either I won't run on mono or I'm going to go rewrite major, you know, core pieces so I don't use those framework calls anymore. One of the things, I don't know if we've talked about, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but have we talked about kind of the deployment tool that you'll be using? Is it just going to be command line? Is it going to be like a Visual Studio mono plugin kind of thing? Or is it, yeah. Have any ideas around that?
Yeah, I think we already kind of covered that because he was saying earlier, yeah, that it was just you check in to Git or Mercurial and it's auto-deployed.
Well, so Heroku works a little differently where you can check in, but you can also explicitly push and it'll go pull from your repository and then put it out. And that's why I was wondering if there's going to be a kind of another manual step in there.
Nope. Basically, all you use is the tools that you already been using as far as your source control. In this case, either Git or Mercurial. You set up a remote repository up to Monkey, and when you commit your changes and you push to your origin repository for Git or Mercurial, once you do that, go through your QA, you're ready to push to production or the staging environment. Well, you just push to those remotes that are actually running on the Monkey side. And once they're inside there, I'll have a Git task after the push that will run and compile your application and then make it ready to make requests on. So couldn't get any easier, in my opinion.
One thing we could mention is that the Mono Tools allows you to run your application on Mono from Visual Studio. So you can do a lot of your sort of lightweight testing using those tools.
I think I mentioned already, I do plan on having Windows support. The big thing with Windows support is with the pushing to your remote repositories underneath it uses SSH. That's how I'm going to be securing the transfer, to make sure that only you're the only one that can push to that repository. And running a SSH server on Windows could be a little tricky. I haven't looked into it too much yet, but I do plan on looking into it and trying to solve that problem also, so we can allow pushing to a Windows server also and running the stack on a Windows server, so under the .NET framework instead of Mono.
Now, you don't necessarily need to have... I'm trying to think this through. You don't need to have the SSH server running on the Windows host instance as long as the Windows host instance can
get to the Git repository, right? Like I could push, I mean, the repository could be on, you know, an intermediate machine that then the Windows machine just pulls from to host. I don't know.
That could be one solution. Yeah. I mean, basically have a Windows machine that pulls from this other machine that you push, say it's a Linux machine, and it you push to that guy, and then it goes from there to this Windows server and gets hosted that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a multitude of solutions. I just haven't, you know, focused too much on it yet as far as how I'm going to do it.
Well, one of the things I see this being a big use of is using it as kind of a continuous integration build server. So, you know, you push up and this automatically gets deployed to your hosted thing, and then people can go, you know, test against the latest build right then. You may not always want to make that your production, but you can control that with DNS and whatnot or host file settings. Right. But yeah, I could see doing something like that.
Yeah.
And as far as the Git tooling, I've been working with the Mono Develop guys a lot and actually been helping with the Git integration as far as using, you know, a visual IDE and using Git underneath to, you know, commit to the without having to use a command line. And there's some tools available in Visual Studio also, and also for Mercurial. So there's no Mercurial support in Mono Develop yet, but I'm sure at some point we'll get to that also.
And then while you're doing that, I mean, you're building this whole hosting infrastructure, and I mean, you could run anything that runs on Mono, or I mean, I guess theoretically you could be running, you know, PHP or whatever there as well, right?
Right. I could change, I mean, later I could change where you can select which framework you even want to use. Maybe you don't want to use .NET. Maybe you want to use PHP or Python or Ruby even. I could even go that far out and say you can choose which framework you want to use and choose. And once you're doing that, then I can spin up your instance of the web server that's going to be serving your application for that language or that framework.
Okay. So you mentioned that hopefully by the time this goes live that this will be up. I mean, how long has this been? How long have you been working on this? And then what's the kind of, you know, time frame on, you know, like what happens next when the site goes live and how you scale up and that kind of thing?
I'm pretty much going to be making the public announcement within the next 10 days, I would assume. And once I make the public announcement, I'm going to have a private beta sign up. And once I get enough users and enough, you know, interest of people who want to actually help me test the infrastructure and make sure everything's good, I'm going to open up the private beta and let people play on it and all that good stuff. And then from there, do a public beta. And then after the public beta, go to production. And far as private beta opening up, I'm hoping before Monospace, which is planned this winter sometime, to have the private beta up and running and hopefully get some feedback at, because I do plan on going to Monospace and hopefully get some feedback there on from some actual users face to face and see how everything's, just to see how things are going and take the next step. So this isn't going to be a real fast process, but I'm not going to take my time either. So I'm going to try to move through as fast as I can, but at the same time, I just want to make sure everything is solid and good to go so people can take it to the next level as far as the type of production apps they want to run on the infrastructure.
You mentioned batch jobs as a possible add-on. Are there other add-ons that you're envisioning for the service?
I'm going to actually try to make the add-on type of public API in a way where people could actually develop add-ons if they want for their applications, and hope to see some people taking advantage of that. For instance, developing their own statistics, you know, far as gathering, you know, how many users are using their site and all that good stuff, and running those live right away. That could be a possible add-on. Another one is, you know, choosing SSL, custom domains. Yeah, of course, the deploy hooks. So the way deploy hooks would work is one hook would be to compile your application after you push up to the repository, the remote repository. And then you could create other hooks if you want to email a team or, you know, Campfire, you know, just set it up to these third-party applications maybe, you know, for your bug tracking or continuous integration, you know, just to make the deployment a lot better for you. Extendable. And then there's going to be HTTP cache type system too. I'm still weighing in on which one I'm going to use, but for Linux, Varnish is pretty popular. That's an HTTP cache. That can be an add-on. You can basically choose how much cache you want to hold at one time. For Windows, you could use, John, you'll have to help me out. But
It's now called App Fabric Caching, I believe.
Yeah, there you go. The App Fabric Caching system, that could be an add-on. You know, other add-ons will be, you know, when I touched on the third-party database hosting providers, other add-ons could be using those and making that easier as far as hooking up your app to that, you know, when you deploy, run some other tasks, all that good stuff.
Is there any file system access? Like if I wanted to write files to disk, or do I have to use a database or some sort of add-on for that kind of stuff, like an S3?
You're talking about for a flat file database?
Yeah, if I could just, you know, save some files. Like if my app does, you know, file.open, is it going to have any sort of access to the file system there?
As far as the user that you'll be running under, yeah, you'll have access to pretty much the whole system that you're running in under the virtual machine. So if you need file access, you'll be able to get it. If you need to do any type of other system administration tasks, I do plan on hopefully having some SSH connections where you could actually SSH into your VPS if you want to take it to the next level and do even more customization. But of course, I'm not too sure how I'm going to do that yet, because at the same time, I don't want you to mess up the way everything is set up and created for you.
Right.
To keep you from having to do that. But for the more advanced users, I do hopefully have to have something like that, you know, to let them feel good about customizations and all that good stuff. So
each application will have a unique user and a run in a unique process space?
Yeah, each application will have a unique account, and that account will run in a certain process space in your virtual machine. And then you can add as many applications as you want under that account.
And those are segregated, as you were saying before, by machine. So if Jackson has an account and I have an account, we're running on two completely different machines. So I don't care if he's got file access because he's got it on his own machine.
Right. And between these virtual machines, it could be on this server over here, and then your application could be running on this server over here. It doesn't matter to you, but for me, virtualizing everything just makes things a lot easier for me, for administration purposes, and also security.
I'm kind of running out of questions. Do you guys have anything else? Or Dale, do you have any other areas you'd want to talk about more? It sounds awesome. I want it.
I'm hoping that's the feedback I get. Like I said, I saw how popular, you know, Heroku got and was building the system similar and just opening up. I hope everybody can take advantage of it and think it is as awesome as I do. And it's funny. I mean, I was actually developing a web server similar to what Jackson did with the Monos. And that's basically what's running your application on my side. And without the application framework, and we started getting the talk and back and forth. And since you guys were talking about Sinatra and all that, I mean, you're going to be able to choose which framework you want to use. If you don't want to use ASP.NET MVC, you can use use the Monos framework. I'm gonna be working with Jackson to make sure that's supported. Also, FUBU MVC, for instance. You'll be able to choose whichever framework you want to use to run your application and develop in.
I was really hoping you'd say Open Rasta there.
Open Rasta? I'm not too familiar with the project, but I'll take a look at it and see what it's all about. Keep that in the mind. Hopefully supporting that also. So, because I am developing similar to what Scott's been delving in with Rack in a way, is putting Rack in front of all these web application frameworks. So the request comes in, and then from there, determine, okay, which framework you're using, and just pass that request on to that and set it up in a way to that framework understands, as far as, you know, an HTTP context or whatever, for him to take that and pass it through the routing system, and, you know, from there on. Because once you're there, you're inside the, say, for instance, the MVC framework and how it handles requests.
Okay. Well, anything else we should talk about? I think we're pretty good. Any Case Scott's gone. Scott Kuhn, Kevin, anything?
I don't think so.
Awesome.
No, I'm good.
Okay. And Dale, anything we missed?
None that I could think of.
Cool. Well, thanks a bunch, Dale. I appreciate your time, and I'm very excited about this. So.
I'm glad. I'm glad you got some time for me to come on here, and hopefully by the time you get this edited and out, I'll have everything out there for you, and I'll keep you updated and let you know. And that way you guys can get even more information as you got right now, of course.
Cool. All right. And thanks a bunch, Jackson, for sticking around after your show, and also for setting us up with Dale. So you get your standard finder's fee on this one.
I'll give you some Amazon links you need to click.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, thanks a bunch. And we'll catch you next week or whenever on Herding Code. And the outro music plays, and we're all happy.
Just to follow up, since the show is recorded, Dale has contacted me and said, yes, they have indeed publicly announced Monkey. You can read about it at signsignal.com. That's SINESIGNAL.com. And you can sign up for the private beta at monkey.com. That's MONCAI.com.